Such a beautiful time in the Lord's presence always. It's not about the how much people we are, it's about we're singing with everything in us. With all our hearts, we just bring reverence to the Lord because He's so holy and so worthy. And this morning, I'm excited to share with you the word the Lord laid on my heart this morning. And for those who don't know, but we're in the season of stepping out. The Lord's called us as a church to step out. But also when we're stepping out, we're not going to get the full picture. Because sometimes when the Lord calls us to step out, we're like, okay, Lord, so I'm stepping out too. And then from there, I'm stepping too. And then the next step, I'm stepping into. Then I'll step out, Lord. But if the Lord just calls us to say, hey, to step out. Okay, Lord, where are we doing? What are we doing? And Jesus said, I already gave you the commandment. He says in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him, to Jesus. And therefore, go. What must we do? We must make disciples. But he says, go. He says, go. He didn't say, I will then come and I will tell you the plan. Father, we thank you that we can know that you are with us, Lord, wherever we go. Thank you that as your word is being preached now, Lord, I pray that I may decrease here in front and you may increase. Pray that you will speak through me right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. So the Bible says, therefore, go and make disciples. And then he gives us another commandment. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And that's how what we lived for, what we do, what's in our DNA is that we must go and we must preach the gospel and we must make disciples and we must baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's the first commandment that was given to us. That's what Jesus said when he left. And as shofar, we know that our vision is to reach nations and generations through discipleship making, leadership development, and church planting. That's one of the tools the Lord gave to us. So if you go to the next slide, Adon. Thank you for helping me this morning. Really appreciate it. So a start marker, eh? Adon is a start marker. Someone you can rely on. Thank you, Adon. So the word that the Lord gave us as the eldership as we were away on our retreat in praying and really trusting the Lord for this year for us as a church family, the Lord clearly spoke to us through the book of Matthew. Matthew 14 is where I'm just going to recap it. I touched it on my previous sermon just to give you guys some recap. He says to them, so Jesus has already fed the 5,000 men, women, and children. And then he fed them with what was there? The five fishes and the two loaves of bread. Was it other way around? Other way around. Thank you, Rebecca. So the five loaves of bread and the two fishes. And then he fed the 5,000 and then he did the miracle, blessed it, gave thanks to the Lord. And then he gave it to them. And as he gave it to them, after that he shared with them, obviously, the meal. And then he tells his disciples to go. He said, go, cross the lake or what's the sea. And then he told them to go. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat, go before him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowd, after he dismissed the crowd, he went on the mountain by himself to pray. And we know that later on when that evening came, they were alone, and but the boat at that time was far out in sea, and the waves and the wind came up. And when we think about this scene, it's always like, phew, it must have been a calm sea for them to, like, Peter to be willing to step out on the boat and say, oh, Lord, if it's you, I'll come to you on this calming water. But it wasn't a calming water. It was a mighty waters. It was mighty waters. When you look at what was happening is that the storm were up and it was like, it was bigger than the boat. And in that time, they see Jesus coming to them on the water, and Peter responds and says, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you. What happens in Peter's heart is that he recognizes and he says, come. And he recognizes the voice of the Lord, and immediately he gets out onto the boat, out of the boat, onto the water. Now, when you look at that scene, like the waves is all over, and I'm sure Peter was like, sure, what am I doing? But something in Peter clicked that moment and said, I'm going to trust this voice because I know this voice. This is my Lord and Savior. This is the Son of God. Because remember, as he steps out onto that storming water, he actually walks on water. Eh? Do you realize that? He didn't sink at first. He actually walks on water and he's walking towards Jesus. And the moment that reality kicks into it, what happens is he started sinking. Once the reality kicks in and he's like, what am I doing? This is impossible. Hey? He's like doing a Mission Impossible like Tom Cruise here, and he's like, what am I doing? And that moment that kicks in, the reality kicks in, he was like sinking. Started sinking, and immediately the Lord was there to save him. The Lord grabbed his hand and pulled him out of the water. And those who were in the boat, what did they do? Worshipped, saying, truly you are the Son of God. But if Peter didn't step out of the boat, what would have their response would have been? Eh? If Peter didn't step out of the boat, and Jesus didn't come to them walking on water, they wouldn't have realized that moment that the other disciples had realized that, hey, this is truly the Son of God. And in that moment, once they realized that, something shifted in their hearts. And from there, they were radical. They're just going out and spreading the good news and sharing. And then I also went on and sharing on a personal story and a personal journey. Not personal to me, but personal to all of us. The next slide, Adon, thank you. It's Shofar. Shofar Christian Church. Fred and Lucille May came into this town. Multiracial couple in the apartheid 1992. The next slide. Yeah, that one. Came into this town of Stellenbosch. And what the Lord told them to do was to plant a church there. And they were like, they probably thought that God, like, got you crazy. But something in them trusted the Lord so much that when the leaders of that town called them to say, what are you guys doing in our town? You are not going to plant a church here. By the end of the month, you will be out of here. And they said, the Lord said we must be here. And the Lord put us here. And at the end of the month, they were still there. And today's Stellenbosch is still standing. And that is where our journey started. And this is where Shofar started. A couple who said yes to the Lord, took a step, didn't know how I was going to figure, how I was going to be. They never, like, I don't think that time they had the wildest dreams that it's going to be 50 churches in 5 different countries. Today they've stepped down as leaders, but the Lord's word is still so faithful. Because the church is still growing and we're still multiplying, and we're still reaching nations and generations. We're still doing leadership development. We're still planting churches. And that is the great story about our story, the word that the Lord gave us. Because sometimes we think we're going to step out and then it's all about us. But the Lord said, I see you, but I look through you. And that's a word that the Lord gave me when I gave out over Shofar Urban, because I was holding on to Shofar Urban so much, because I was like, Lord, this is so beautiful what you're doing here. Lord, this is amazing what you're doing here. You are gathering the outcasts. You are bringing the prostitutes into the church. You are bringing the homeless into your church. God, you are bringing those who don't have a home. You're giving them a home, God. This is amazing. This is my heartbeat, God. But then the Lord spoke to me clearly at the beginning of 2023. He said, Bradley, I see you, but I see through you as well. Meaning that the heart of Shofar Urban is not determined by my obedience. The fact that Shofar Urban is still standing today was not because of my obedience to say, Lord, I am the one that the church is relying on. If I'm not there, nothing's going to happen. The same with Shofar Boston. If I'm not here, the church will still go on. Because the Lord builds his church, not men. But the Bible says, if the Lord doesn't build his church, those who build his church will build it in vain. And the beautiful thing is that Shofar model has changed over these years, but it's still been a model of participation and in the apprenticeship, is that we tell you, come with us on this journey. We don't tell you to, you must first do this, and you must first do that, and you must first do this. Come with us. Come see what the Lord is doing. Come see what the Lord is doing through our church. And that's how the church has spread from the student ministry into a family ministry and now to an international movement. And it's not based on Fred and Lucille. Yes, they were obedient to the call of the Lord and the Lord used them. And it's not also based on Heinrich and Nikki, who's leading the church currently. It's because the Lord has spoken his word over this church. And I want to encourage you today, as we unpack the word that the Lord has given us, to step out. And sometimes it seems crazy, and sometimes it seems we can't do it. Trust the Lord, because he will be with us every step of the way. Even though we mess up along the way, so many times we're going to mess up, we're going to hurt one another. But if our focus is Jesus, we will forgive. And we will go on and we will focus on what the Lord is wanting to do with us. Because he's promised us, I will be with you. He didn't leave his disciples out on the boat. He came walking on the sea to them. He didn't leave Shofar when Fred and Lucille stepped down in 2015. He said, Heinrich, you are the new leader of this movement. You and Nikki will take this movement further. He didn't leave Shofar Urban when Bradley and Carolyn came to plant Shofar Boston. He raised up another leader and he said, there is your new leader, Shofar Urban. Because I am the Lord your God and I am the one who builds my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it, eh? Isn't that what he told Peter? But it wasn't based on Peter. Peter was the one that got the call the first time. But it wasn't just based on Peter. Eh? That's the beauty of our God. He speaks to us, but he sees us, but he also sees through us. The fact that the church is growing is not based on my good works or any of the eldership who are so gifted or any of our worship teams who's really gifted in worship. It's the fact that Jesus Christ is the Lord of this church. It's the fact that Jesus Christ is the head of this church. And we are all in submission to him. Let us take us back to the beginning. So if you go to the next slide, that was just a recap, my intro to my sermon, guys. So Abraham, we all know him. Okay. Abraham was is now called the father of the nations, and he is the father of the nations, and we are all descendants of Abraham. Am I right? But Abraham's call started simply. But did you know before Abraham was called, God called his father first? And his father didn't want it to go. And then the Lord looked at Abraham, and the Lord said, "Now," and the Lord said to Abraham, "Go from your country." So I'm reading from Genesis 12. "And go, kinder, and your father's house, the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing." Verse 1. Go from your country, and I will show you the land of your father's house. He didn't say that he must go, and you must go there, and once you get there, these are the steps you need to follow. A, B, C, D, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, P. Boom, a blueprint that we want for our lives. No, he said to him, go. And once you get there, I'll show you. Sometimes we don't want to go. We just want to say, Lord, if I go, what am I going to get there? How's it going to look? Is there going to be a place for me to stay? Is there going to be people that's going to be treating me like I want to be treated? Lord, Lord says, don't worry about the small stuff. Don't sweat the small stuff. The focus is on going. And once you go, I will show you. I will bless those who bless you. And him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you and all your families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham, as the Lord told him, and Lot with him. Abraham was 75 years old. So now you're 30 years old, you say, Lord, it's time to settle. It's time to settle. I can't pick up my family now and go wherever you want to call me. No, it's time to settle, God. No, no, no. You know that house, white picket fence, 2.3 kids, and a dog and a cat. You know, Lord, and that swimming pool, that is giving life now. And the Lord says, I'm not calling you for comfort. I'm calling you to step out. And for us, as so for Boston, that step out might not say leaving the country and going, yes, if it's that, we'll pray with you, we'll send you, and we'll love you, and we'll say, go, be obedient to the Lord's call. But it might just for you to go to your neighbor and say, hey, how are you doing? Are you all right today? Your colleague at work, I see you going through a difficult time. Can I pray with you? To your friend that you have not spoken, or that family member that you know, we all have that family drama that we haven't spoken to you, say this, you know what? I don't want to sweat this stuff anymore, man. Let us forgive one another. I'm sorry for what I did. I'm really sorry for how I spoke to you. I wasn't treating you like you should have been treated. And you know what? You didn't treat me the way I should have been treated. So let's just cut it short and let's say, we are family. Let's just go on. Let's just live in harmony with one another. Maybe it's that boss at work that's irritating you and just saying, hey, I'm not preaching to the masses, now I'm preaching to myself. Let's say, hey, this misunderstanding wasn't well, eh? Let's just call it. Eh? 75-year-old, and he went and departed. And Abraham took his wife Sarai, Abraham, and Lot, his son's brother, his brother's son, and all the possessions that they carried, and all the people that they had, and they set out to the land of Canaan. So we know that land of Canaan is the land of milk and honey, it's called, eh? When the Egyptians, later on, Moses, what happens is, where they're being led to? Eh? To? The land of milk and honey, Canaan. And when they came to Canaan, so now you think he's going into Canaan and he's going to just go and possess the land. Abraham passed through the land to the place. And at that time, the Canaanites were in the land. And this is what the Lord said to him. Then the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "To you and your offsprings I will give this land." So he built an altar for the Lord who had appeared. Sorry, my. Can you guys see it there? Sorry, I'm so sorry for that bad font there. That appeared to him. And he said, "For there he moved to the hills and Bethel and pitched his tent." And then he started doing life there. And he built the altar for the Lord. But what I want you to see here is that when the Lord told him in verse 1 to go, did the Lord tell him to go and possess the land? No. The Lord said, "Go, and I will show you." The Lord didn't say, "Go in and command this land from this people, fight for it and go." No, the Lord said, "Come into this land, pitch your tent, and stay there." Eh? Sometimes we want to go to a place and we want to be in control of every single thing that happens. And the Lord just say, "Just go. Just go. You don't have to worry about how people's going to treat you. Just go. Just pitch your tent there amongst the people. Live there. Worship me there. Don't worry. I'm there." But the promise is that the Lord has given us that he will go with us. But the step of us is to go. Sometimes we need to all figure out, eh? Who's the planners and we go on holiday? Eh? Don't be shy. Put up your hands. But I ask the spouses. Who's planning? Who plans a holiday to the T? Marius? Tenille? Carolyn also, she likes to plan her holidays to the T. You know what I did with her the one day? I told her, "We're just going to get into the car the Friday afternoon. We're just going to drive. We're not going to know where we're going. We're just going to drive." We ended up in Eiserfontein having sunset, watching the sunset there. I haven't booked any place to stay. We get to Langebaan. I'm like, "Probably should find a place to stay now." Well, the worst thing that could happen is we sleep in the car, which is not a bad thing. Or we pitch a tent, which is not a bad thing because we did put in our tent. We get to this lodge and the owner comes to us and she stays over the road and she comes and she's like, "We go to the reception first." They're like, "No, the owners is not here. They don't think they can help us." The lady walks in. She's like, these guys need a place to stay?" I'm like, "Yeah, we do." She goes through the list. She's like, "Ooh, there's only two places available in this whole place. One is the honeymoon suite with the sea view, and the other one is a non-sea view room. But I think I need to give you guys a sea view room." We're like, "Okay, it's probably going to cost us like a few thousands here." And the Holy Spirit tells me, "Bradley, you don't negotiate. Keep quiet." I'm the negotiator. I always negotiate a price. I mean, I have Indian blood in me. And the Lord tells me, "Keep quiet." And I kept quiet. And this lady works out on the calculator and she's like, "Oh, that's still too much. Still too much." She goes down. She's like, "I can give it to you for..." So now this is the honeymoon suite. "She can give it to you for 1,250 rand. And there's nothing to pay in the Langebaan Sea View place." And she's like, "This room is usually about 3,000 rand. But that's what I'll give it to you guys for the night." We had the best time that weekend of our lives. The next day is the Rugby World Cup. And I'm like, "I'll probably have to book, but I always had this desire. I want to watch rugby on a random place with random people that I don't know. And I must just be like, I must just know myself and my wife that's all with me." And we walk into this to this beach bar at Mykonos, actually, and they're like, did you guys book for the rugby? I'm like, no. They're like, we only have two spots available. It's right in front by the bar and by the screens. The TV's up here. I'm like, yeah, we'll take it. We had the best game of our lives that day. What am I saying, guys? When you go on a journey with the Lord, He shows up. When we go to His call, when we go, He shows up. And He, our imaginations, He, like it says in Ephesians 3 verse 20, He's able to above that we can think or imagine. So Abraham, going into this foreign land, when he gets there, the Lord tells him, you're going to possess this land. And you're going to be in charge of this land. Yeah, we know some of the stories. Later on, they had to come back full circle. Once they go with Moses. It's a thing with us, eh? But what I'm saying is that it didn't stop with Abraham. It didn't stop with Fred and Lucille. It didn't stop with Abraham. Someone else. A young man grew up in the town of Beaufort West. Was the oldest of 14 kids. Didn't have any ambition and vision. Met this young guy, this his uncle who really mentored him and really showed him that there's something bigger to life than the Stofstrata of Beaufort West. That man at the age of 18 gets onto a train, comes to Cape Town, joins the Navy, falls a bit into addiction, drinks a lot, got married at the age of 24, had three kids. After that, got a call from the Lord to become a dominie. Get mentored by my grandfather, the one that I spoke to you about, that grew up who was part of the Bainscliff, boss, who grew up in Woolsley, Tilbach side, that side. And really, my grandfather was rejected, then met the Lord, and really that his life changed, his trajectory changed. Later on, this man gets discipled by this man. He becomes his right-hand man. They plant the church. My grandfather planted a church. This man becomes the first dominie. Later on, through life, ups and downs, he goes through a difficult time. He gets divorced. His son falls into addiction. His other son falls into another addiction. His daughter feels rejected. Later on, the Lord saved his son who fell into addiction, changed his life around, met him, really changed his heart, touched his life. Later on, he comes into the Shofar Church at 2013, broken young man, not fell back into addiction, but just came out from a different difficult relationship. So the man that had this children, he then left church, turned his heart on the Lord. He said, Lord, if this is what you're up to, I don't want anything to do with you. Once his son met the Lord, comes into Shofar, the Lord changed his heart, got married in 2018. The other son that was also in the type of addiction, the Lord met him. The first one get baptized with the Lord bat. The second one got baptized. Later on, the sister get baptized. I'm speaking about my family, guys. My dad, when he said yes to Jesus, never thought that both of his sons will be preaching into church like he did. He never thought while he was going through that difficult time of his life where he got divorced from his wife, had an affair, and then got divorced, never thought that the Lord would be so faithful to what the Lord has spoken over him, to the prophecies that the Lord has spoken over him. And today I'm here. I'm here. I stand on that word that for one person's yes, generations is impacted. And I'm standing and I'm living proof for a grandfather who was rejected by his father and never loved by his father, never knew his father, met the father, and his life changed. And that's where the family of Christians comes from in my generation. And my dad, who turned his back on the Lord during a difficult time in his life, where the church really hurt him, didn't know that both his children will be restored and be preaching. And my sister has been restored, and she knows that she's loved. She knows that she's accepted. She knows that she's redeemed because of the blood of Jesus Christ. My brother is currently part of the church there. He's studying for Bible school. I'm trusting the Lord with him that he will take up the call to take over the church that my grandfather has planted, to start with that journey. Because the Lord has called us for so much bigger. And this will not only end with Bradley. Brad with Malachi, Bethany will walk in the fullness of the Lord, knowing who their Savior and Lord is because of the yes that I did. And you might think today that your yes and your going is not going to make any impact. Fred and Lucille May, when they had that meeting with the church leaders and they were taken apart because they were a multiracial couple in the years of apartheid in Stellenbosch with a stronghold which has been broken today by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we have been set free, and we know that Stellenbosch is for Jesus because of the Shofar Church that's planted there. They never thought that their church movement, the small church, insignificant church that they planted, will be a church movement of 50 different churches who sends out over 1,000 students and working professionals in a year on missions. The word that the Lord gave to Shofar was that 40 million people will get to know the gospel because of us. Yes, Shofar Boston, you're almost two years old, eh? Oh, we are actually 2 years old, praise the Lord. And we are a year in this building. But it is just the start of it. Amen? Yes, we're small and we're insignificant. But what the Lord is doing here is going to impact generations and nations around us. And it's not about Shofar. It's not about us. It's all about Jesus. And the fact that we can lay down our lives for him and say, Lord, we are here. My dad didn't know that along the way, all his kids, and I had the privilege of baptizing all my siblings. And that's a testimony of God's faithfulness. Because the call that the Lord gave to my grandfather was that your family will know me. Your family will know me. And yes, the one who got it became an addict and stole from his family and really became an enemy to his family. The Lord touched that person's heart, changed his life, and changed his trajectory. And that person became the strong man for the family. And is still praying for everyone's salvation today. Because the Lord is able to do above that we can think or imagine when we say yes to the call of God. Let me wrap this up fast. So coming back to Abraham, who's now Abraham. When we read in Hebrews 11, Abraham never in his life thought he's going to be mentioned in the faith warriors. Hey? When he said yes to Jesus, he never thought that, oh, I'm going to be famous one day. He never in his life thought that, hey, there's going to be, in the Bible, there's going to be a mention of me. Then, you know what? I'm actually going to be known throughout generations past me. I'm actually going to be known. Yes, the Lord told him that you will have as much children as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. And he was like, but Lord, I can't count these. The Lord said, exactly my point. Because you are willing to say yes to me, I will show you what I'm able to do. Eh? And by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. But before he went, he didn't know he was going to receive it. And when he went out, not knowing where he was going, by faith he lived there in the promised land as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, his heirs. For he was looking over the city and its foundations so that the designers of, so whose designer and the builder is God. By faith, Sarah received the word to conceive even when she was past the age. We know she was quite old. Since she was considered to him faithful who promised. Therefore, while for one man, and for him is as good as it, were born the descendant as the stars of the heaven, and as many as the grains of the sand on the seashore. Let's stand this morning. So when we were praying at our elders retreat, and we were really trusting the Lord. The Lord told us that as we're stepping out, He's going to show us the next step. For today, we're stepping out and saying, Lord, this is me. I'm here. God, I'm part of this church family. Lord, whatever you want to do here, Lord, I'm buying into. And the other thing is that you're saying to the Lord, Lord, I will go. I will go to my neighbor and I will pray with them when they're going through a difficult time. Lord, I will actually go to my colleague at work that I have a little beef with and say, can we just live in harmony? Can we not sweat the stool stuff? Lord, I'm going to be a peacemaker because what does the Bible say? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will inherit the kingdom. And the Lord is faithful to His word that we will. We're not going to know generations past what our children's going to become or do. But for our yes today for Jesus, so many impact can be made. My grandfather didn't think that his children would be all. Or my dad, both his sons would be preaching the gospel unashamedly in churches to people. But here we are, we're doing it. So no matter where you are in your life today, I want you just to remember, by your yes, generations can be impacted. By you saying yes to the call of God, generations can be impacted. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave us a second chance in life. Who actually gave us life. Because before that, we were dead. We were dead in our trespasses, Lord. We were dead in our sinful lives that we lived, God. But because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we are set free, we are redeemed, we are restored, and we are being made new, God. And because of that, God, that you've done in our hearts and in our lives, Lord, we want to lay down our lives for your call today. We know that you're calling us as a church for so much deeper, God. I pray, Lord, as we step out of the boat, God, onto the water, that you will guide us and lead us, Lord. That the reality of the storms and the worries and the cares of this world will not steal from this, Lord. But thank you, Lord, that generations past us, Lord, will taste this fruit of our labors, Lord. May our names not be mentioned in anything, God, but may you alone get all the glory. The Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, and the Lord be gracious to you. Therefore, go in peace, in Jesus' name. Amen.